You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org.
A few years ago, the International Agency in Research on Cancer published a monograph in which they looked at research from all over the world on whether women who exercise, healthy women who exercise, have a lower chance of getting cancer. And they came to the conclusion, after pooling and evaluating all the data around the world, that it appeared that women had about a 20 to 40% lower likelihood of getting cancer if they were physically active. And it seemed to be true both premenopausally and postmenopausally. It seemed to be true whether you looked at leisure time exercise or occupational exercise, and it seemed to be true in different populations all around the world. So it's what we would call a pretty robust finding.
Is it true that people in the group who do exercise and therefore have a lower risk tend also to be people who pay attention to other factors of health, their diet, their stress? Or have they been able to filter out those factors to show that exercise itself can have a strong, powerful impact?
Both of those things you say are true. It's true that most people who exercise are also health conscious and pay attention to other factors in their health. And in most of those studies, those other factors are adjusted for in order to isolate the effect of exercise alone.
What are the dangers for people who are survivors of cancer, people who have been diagnosed with cancer, of not getting adequate physical exercise?
In our study, the women with breast cancer who did exercise, the equivalent of 3 to 5 hours of walking a week, were 50% less likely to die compared to the women who are inactive.
Less likely to die of their cancer?
Of their cancer.
Why do you think that is?
Physical activity, we found that it most benefited the women who had the kind of cancer that's susceptible to hormone levels, and that was the most common kind. That was the kind that had hormone receptors. And we did not actually measure hormone levels, but a logical explanation would be that the physically active women had lower hormone levels, and then the lower hormone levels may have suppressed cancer growth and recurrence.
And so there's a connection between decreased hormone levels and getting enough physical exercise.
Yes.
And has that connection been previously established?
Yes. That's in other studies. It's been known that women who are physically active have lower hormone levels. I think even lay people know that athletes, very elite athletes, marathon runners and ballet dancers, for instance, young women have disruption of their menstrual periods because of they exercise so much. So exercise does lower hormone levels.
Did you say 3 to 5 hours a week?
Yes, of walking.
Walking. It certainly doesn't seem as daunting a requirement as going to a gym and getting on an exercise machine, and it seems like something that would be easily doable by people with a strong motivation to keep healthy.
It's kind of nice because it actually, that level of exercise matches the recommendations of the federal government of 30 to 60 minutes of moderate activity on most days of the week. You don't have to run a marathon for the maximum benefits. The benefits kind of maxed out at that moderate level.
And do you have some practical recommendations for people who are not currently in the habit of taking 30 to 60-minute walks most days of the week? How might they become more amenable to it? How could they be enticed into trying that out toward developing it as a regular practice?
Yeah, it probably varies a lot depending on where you live. I mean, I happen to live in a part of the country that's very walkable, But I live in Boston. It's a very walkable city. And, for instance, I walk to work, and I actually get to work the same amount of time it would take me to take the bus. But I do understand I've visited relatives that live in other parts of the country where they live across the street from a mall, but the street is a, you know, eight-lane highway, and you have to drive across the street just to get to the store. So, you know, one of the things that has to happen is it's, you know, policy changes in our built environment so that people can build exercise into their everyday life. It's a lot easier to build it into your everyday life, like walk to work, than to find time to exercise. That's much more of a challenge, I think. But, you know, if you're talking about your life and reducing your chance of dying for your disease, I would encourage women who have breast cancer to take that time for themselves. They really deserve it.
And do you find that there are benefits for breast cancer survivors who do undertake a regimen of, you know, four or five times a week of going on a nice long brisk walk that go beyond the reduction in hormone levels? Does it improve people's mood? Does it make it easier for them to handle the stresses, not only of life in general, but of cancer itself?
I haven't found that, but other researchers certainly have found that. I think the thing that we added is it might help them to live longer, too.
What about if somebody's physical circumstance is such that going out on a, you know, 30 to 60 minute walk may not be very easy or convenient or physically comfortable? Are there some options for those people?
Well, we just presented the results in terms of walking because that's what most of the women in our study do, but we actually measured physical activity in something called METS, which is metabolic equivalent tasks. So, you could do any physical activity, and you could ride a bike, you could swim, you could play, you know, tennis, you can dance, you can, you just needed to get the same equivalent amount of calorie burn, so to speak. But in the age group of the women we're talking about, which are sort of late middle-aged women, we've asked them, and most of them use walking as their exercise. So we just translated it into walking hours because it seemed most relevant to the population we're trying to reach.
Does it have to be what we would normally think of as a kind of aerobic workout where you're huffing and puffing and perspiring heavily?
I don't think that mostly these women were huffing and puffing and perspiring heavily. They were walking at average pace. So, no.
Do you see a link between weight control and exercise that relates to reducing the risk of cancer?
Well, weight control is certainly important. That's a whole different issue. We've also published on that, we know, for instance, that women who weigh more when they're diagnosed have a higher risk of recurrence and death. We also know that some of the treatments we give women with breast cancer make them gain weight, and we also have learned that the more you gain adds to your risk of dying of the disease. But in the study of physical activity, we adjusted for statistically the weight. So I think it's two separate things. There's some benefits for exercise that's above and beyond the weight, and there's benefits for maintaining weight that are above and beyond the exercise.
Your study focused on survivors of breast cancer. To what extent is physical exercise directly beneficial to people who are dealing with other kinds of cancer?
Well, one of my colleagues, Dr. Meyerhardt, has recently published a paper looking at in this same group of in the Nurses' Health Study, women with colon cancer, and he's seen a similar benefit to women with colon cancer who live longer if they exercise after their diagnosis of colon cancer.
So as a general recommendation, is science now telling people with cancer of any kind, get out there, start walking, do your best to get a adequate level of physical exercise? Is that a conclusion that we're sort of finding across the board?
Well, you know, we haven't looked at too many different cancers, but, you know, these days many people with cancer are living many, many years after their diagnosis and living long enough to die from things like heart disease. And certainly we know that exercise prevents against heart disease and diabetes and all these other things that they can still get. So we have yet to really find anything that exercise is bad for.
And I guess my final question is, could you give us your best try at a pep talk for people who know the conventional wisdom that it's good to maintain a lifestyle where there's fitness and physical activity, but who have trouble actually doing it, which is certainly is the case for many millions of people? They know it's a good thing. They have trouble doing it.
You know, if you try it, you may find you like it better than being sedentary. I mean, it's not, the body was meant to be active. We evolved to be active. We're happier that way. We're happier in our mind as well as feeling better that way. So
motor vehicles came along quite late in the evolution of human beings.
So, just try it.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.